yeah, that book was born out of grief, like you said, but most importantly, it was born out of this need within me to honor my best friend and all that I tried in hope to save him for the many years with his drug addiction, mental health issues, and diabetes. So it was a big soup of needs. And I was basically his only friend in the end. We were back in high school together. Like, we just lived through so much together that I did hold a lot of guilt and shame when he passed away, you know, like I could have tried better. And instead of going down that route of, you know, self-destruction, I luckily actually moved at that time to Sevilla, to Spain for my Erasmus year, which was quite timely. And I've always found it very healing to travel and be in new places. And it definitely helped me in that sense. And I just got to writing this book daily. Like, it just was this ingrained habit within me because I had to honor him and I had to help. Like, I have this real passion within me. I have to help others. And obviously that forged the way, so to say, in such a defining moment for me that this is my path now. Like, I am a healer and I'm here to help and write.
Welcome, fellow entrepreneurs and goal getters, to Entrepreneurial Elevation, Unleashing Greatness Within, with myself, your host, Kelly Beveridge, and my special guest today, Grace Grossman. And super excited to have her here. She's originally from the UK. She's chiming in from Germany, where she's been living the last 4 years. And we were just chatting, which I'm sure we'll weave into our conversation today. She is going to be moving to Costa Rica, which has always been a dream of hers, in a month from now. So she's got a world view. She's a special, special person with a phenomenal story. And I'm excited for all of you to meet her here today. I feel connected to her, even though we've just recently met. She's a passionate writer. She is a holistic healer. She specializes in yoga, mental health, and well-being, amongst other things. She's the author of a book, Chill Out and Cheer Up. I love that. And today's theme is going to be around healing, growth, and alignment. And Grace's own journey through this, through grief and mental health struggles and rediscovery of herself and love of self and creating alignment for her life. And so, Grace, welcome today. So happy to have you here.
Hi, Kelly. What a lovely summary. Well done.
Thank you. Well, you just bring such good energy. I think, you know, I always tell people we're always contributing. And since I've met you, you just have such a good energy about you. And I think it's because you're so authentic. And I'm excited for the audience to hear your story today, because I think that everybody can relate to just your life and what you've gone through. And you're so open to speak about it. And just what you're manifesting now is really amazing. And so I think where we can start, if you're okay, is maybe going back to when you decided to write the book, because I know that are you 30 or 31 now?
I'm 30.
You're 30. So I know you wrote your book when you were 21 after, you know, unfortunately, one of your best friends passed away. And so it came from grief and loss. But that's when a big part of your healing journey started and you wrote this book. And so if you're okay, maybe we can start your story there and just share a little bit about why you decided to write the book and how your healing journey started.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, that book was born out of grief, like you said, but most importantly, it was born out of this need within me to honor my best friend and all that I tried in hope to save him for the many years with his drug addiction, mental health issues, and diabetes. So it was a big soup of needs. And I was basically his only friend in the end. We were back in high school together. Like, we just lived through so much together that I did hold a lot of guilt and shame when he passed away, you know, like I could have tried better. And instead of going down that route of, you know, self-destruction, I luckily actually moved at that time to Sevilla, to Spain for my Erasmus year, which was quite timely. And I've always found it very healing to travel and be in new places. And it definitely helped me in that sense. And I just got to writing this book daily. Like, it just was this ingrained habit within me because I had to honor him and I had to help. Like, I have this real passion within me. I have to help others. And obviously that forged the way, so to say, in such a defining moment for me that this is my path now. Like, I am a healer and I'm here to help and write. And so writing has always been my way to heal myself. I've journaled since I was a kid, you know, like always. And so I thought, why not just put this into a book? And it kind of just like developed from there and became a 10-step guide. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You know, and it is so true. There's so many ways to find healing for ourselves. And I love that, you know, you shared something really important there. You could have taken a different path, right? And I think that for everybody who's listening, even myself, we come up against certain things in our life and we can go one way or the other. How did you take grief? Because I think grief is such a unique personal journey for people. How did you take grief, and what are some lessons that you learned from when that happened that still influence you now and maybe can be an impact for the listeners who might be going through something similar?
Yeah, because grief is so heavy. As you say, it's also very unique in how we carry it and how it shows up. It's very multidimensional. So it's not like you just grieve in your own time and then that's it. Grief comes up in very many ways still for me and for everyone that's listening, right? It's a good question because I have never really actively thought about this, like how from back then, habits maybe have helped me get through the bad times again. But I would definitely say it's this knowledge that I have a baseline of a happy person. Everyone knows me as the sunshine since I was a kid, my family, my friends. And when you hear that, you embody it. I mean, I've always embodied this like curious being. I love listening. I love asking. I love getting to know people and cultures. And I guess that's a massive factor in don't lose that spirit. Of course, you can, you know, be down when you grieve someone and you lose someone. But like you said, you always have a choice. And I guess I honored that in the sense of giving back, right? Because when we're able to transmute our pain into a wisdom, into a higher collective healing, then I think it gives you so much more, not just gratification, but meaning, purpose, right? And we can lose that in grief, I would say.
Mm-hmm. You know, okay, so I have a question as you're speaking, because I love what you just shared. How do you start to, because I agree, yet I feel like it's not an easy thing to do to start to transmute that pain into healing. And so do you remember for yourself, like, so one was writing, right? What did you start to do to have that healing process start to unfold for yourself?
I accepted how I was feeling. And I think that's really like a massive key to treating yourself with grace. You know, it's one of those things that we can really get down by our emotions, which is very normal. We're only human beings and we feel. And I definitely feel a lot as an empath. I soak in a lot of energy from others, which I'm finally now navigating in my own way. So a big thing I would say on that start of my healing journey, let's say, was figuring out for me how I can feel into these emotions and also transmute them into appreciation. Gratitude has always been a massive foundation of my life. Every day, every moment of the day, like it's not just one of those that I write a list, like I feel it. And so in Sevilla, the beauty there, if you've not been, it's beautiful. And so when I was looking around me, I was like, wow, you know, like this feeling of awe. And yeah, that was something that was able to lift me to this higher energy that I'm talking about. I wasn't, you know, decreasing, but I was increasing in this gratitude and this faith and trust that this grief had brought me as like a higher goodness to share with the world.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you said you then took it into writing, which is a part of your healing process. And you wrote this book, which just took off and you didn't expect, because you just obviously wrote it from your heart and for your own reasons initially. Yeah, I like that it's about a 10-step guide to fulfillment. And then I think it's also, you said, 5 foundations to real life. What, maybe you can just pull from that. What are a few of the top ones that you realized were steps to fulfillment? Maybe you could share a few of your favorites.
Yeah, sure. It's funny, you know, Kelly, because I keep hearing my chapters everywhere. I'm like, wow, I did pretty well at 21 to just like summarize that in 10 steps. I'm like, so basically the first five chapters center around like the negative nuances and emotions. So fear and doubt that always come up, right? Fear, doubt, pressure, and how we go about handling that and transmuting it into, you know, these higher vibrations. And then the other five chapters are around connection, solitude, nature, positive thinking, and how we can, just invite those factors into our life for more healing, for more happiness, for more grounded, intentional living. Yeah.
I love that. And you know what I think is really special about your story? Like, first of all, congrats for writing that, for sure. Like you just said, at 21, right? You obviously have a lot of wisdom at a young age. And, you know, it's one thing knowing these things, and then it's one thing doing our best to apply it and live it. And I think that a lot of people feel that when we're healed, all of a sudden our life is going to be perfect or something, or we're never going to go through struggle again, or, you know, we're going to show up as our best always. And that's not the case. That's not the truth. It's being and having these tools to equip us as we go through life. And I know that, you know, after you wrote this book, if we can continue with the next part of your story, you then went through some more struggles, you went through some more hardships, and then your mental health took a hit. And then that's another big piece of your chapter in your life. Can you speak about that?
Yeah, sure. Because it's so ironic when you think about it, because I was there like talking about mental health issues from my best friend, but I'd never experienced it myself. And now I know everything really does happen for a reason. I had to go through that time to deepen my understanding to help others on this deep emotional level. I ironically enough didn't prioritize myself. You know, as an entrepreneur, when in 2020, you know, to start then was also not the best time of year. So I started then and I went full on with yoga teaching online during Corona every day, you know, also while navigating my own breakup and my parents' breakup, which was also a heartache. And then I went into freelance writing and lost another job online. So I was like really like, you know, trying to bundle all of this in, helping others. Well, I also then wrote my first ebook, because it's funny, you know, like I stalled 4 years, Kelly, with this book because my imposter syndrome got the best of me. Who would want to read this and all of that, which is very normal if you're listening. Like, honestly, you're only human. And then it was actually then when I had my mental breakdown, because, you know, I can't take care of everyone else if I can't take care of myself, which I only learned then. It got the better of me. And I went into the clinic then for half a year. And even there, I remember people saying to me, "You don't belong here. You seem like such a good, positive person." And I was like, "What? I feel shit." But even then, it was so funny that they saw and felt my light. I really remember that. One woman was like to me, "Why are you here? Like, you smile all the time." At that moment, it was definitely a fake smile, right? But I guess because I was just so used to it. That then I was in the clinic and I was like, right, no better time than now. I'm really bored and I'm freaking out of my mind with depression. Let's self-publish my book. And that was really the moment that then I wrote my introduction and was like, hey, actually, I am this jolly person, but I've also had a breakdown. And I felt that that just invited a whole new level to me and understanding for other people, especially my readers, that, she's real. She's gone through a lot now, that she does know what she's talking about. And positive thinking isn't just this positive, you know, toxic side to it, but it's the real deal kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for sharing that. And, you know, it's interesting too, as you're speaking, because I think what you said is like on the outside, like obviously naturally you are like Miss Sunshine, you said, right? Yet, but what's actually going on the inside? And I know a couple years ago too, I don't know if I'd say I was depressed, yet I was at my lowest. Yet naturally, I'm a very happy, positive person too. So it's very easy to wear that mask and people don't actually know what's going on. And it takes a lot of courage, I think, to have that awareness like you did, and then to be willing to open yourself up and share this with other people. Yet that's really how you help other people, because they can relate, right? Oh, like, she's going through it too. Okay, I'm not some oddball, or I'm going to be okay. And so for those people who are maybe listening, like, you know, you got through it. That was a really tough time in your life, I know, because we talked before and you got through it. So what would you say to those who struggle with their mental health? What are some things you started to do to put in place for yourself such that you, once again, I think one of your themes too is taking pain and turning it into healing, but so that you can start to reverse that, right? What did you start to do to for yourself? Because you said you weren't putting yourself first and that was a big reason you had your breakdown.
Yeah, I started bit by bit noticing that I'd pushed down my own emotions. Funnily enough, because I mean, also as an entrepreneur, you have so much pressure to actually earn money to show up. And I was coaching people, I was doing meditation groups, yoga, but I wasn't doing yoga for me. And I always remember, you know, one of our gurus in India, he was like, and it will always stick with me, you have to have your own practice when you're a yoga teacher. You cannot just teach without your own practice. And I'd lost it. And then I'd like had this whole 1 year break from yoga then with the clinic and everything, because I just felt so disconnected to it. And I did get scared at one point. I wonder if I'll ever get back to the mat. I did, luckily. And it, you know, I found myself again on the mat. And I think it, one of the big things was really like allowing myself to feel and not, like you just said, wear the mask, not just keep showing up. And when you allow yourself to feel, you can reset by resting, right? Like rest is such a big one. And I think in the clinic, I had a lot of time to rest, which was harder than usual because obviously I had all the intrusive thoughts and whatnot that came with depression and all that. Forgiveness was a big one. And I would say if you are struggling, you're normally beating yourself up with mental health issues. You're normally like in this other self that doesn't like you. Learn to like yourself, learn to love yourself again. And that really comes through forgiveness, like just like showing yourself, oh, I can make a cup of tea for myself, like the small things, you know, because I lost all that, right? You don't really want to feed yourself, you don't want to shower, like you really go into this deep pit of misery. So start small. Don't force yourself to just write a list of 5 things you're grateful for and don't feel it, because I don't think that will also help and it'll make you feel worse. But start to look out the window, look at nature and be like, wow, what a beautiful tree. Like be in awe of what's around you so that you can reconnect to what's within you.
Yeah. And you mentioned like resting. And I know when we first hopped on the call, you said you just came off of a busy week and your body was telling you today to rest and acknowledge yourself and celebrate. And so talk a little bit more about that. How important is stillness and rest in revitalizing ourselves, recuperating, healing, all of that?
So important. And I bet you know it too. So, you know, sometimes we learn it later than earlier. I mean, especially in our society and all the standards and pressure from the outside that we have to live up to, so to say. That we forget to really look within and just sit in stillness, you know? Like it doesn't mean that you have to just meditate 50 minutes or 5 minutes a day. It means just sitting with yourself and taking time to read, to journal, to be in nature. All those little things that top up your soul, I like to say, you know? It's like a soul top up. How many times do you charge your phone? Like, let's just think about it. We live in such a digital world. You charge your phone when it's like running out battery, like, oh shit. Do you think like that about yourself? Like, and you know, I say that in my book too, like a lot of metaphors with flowers too and plants. We water them, you know, and everything goes through its own cycle. And we do too. That's why rest and sleep are so important. I've really noticed now post breakdown, Kelly, that I have to go to sleep, or not have to, I do, and I like to, go to sleep at the same time every day, and I wake up very naturally, no alarm anymore, because I'm in that good cycle of sleep, and I think just that tiny shift, right, with sleep is massive.
It's so massive, and you know, as you're speaking too, like, this is why I think this episode is really important just for everybody, because it's mental health, yet like we don't have to go through a breakdown to start implementing these things. Do you know what I mean? Unfortunately, usually that's when we get to a breaking point. We start to look at whether it's a health issue, a mental health issue, something bad happens. We start to look at this. Yet I really hope the message people get from this is to start to be proactive with this, because You know, I was so busy. I was in the hustle culture. And to your point, I didn't know how to be still. And when I was still, it created anxiety for me. My actual anxiety went up. And I had to learn. I actually hired a coach. This is a true story. I hired a coach to teach me how to be still. Like, I'm not kidding. I literally, because I didn't know. And I can tell you, it might sound trivial, but the simplest thing, like waking up in the morning, not looking at my phone, getting a cup of coffee and sitting there for 10 minutes and just doing that, something as simple as that has changed my life. And this, there is so much magic in stillness. I believe it so much. And before, if I would have called you crazy. Like, I don't have time for that. Who has time to practice stillness or calmness or listening to your body to relax? I have too much things to do. Especially because this, we're talking to entrepreneurs as well, right? The entrepreneurial mindset is hustle. I don't have time, like all of this. Yet in the stillness comes abundance. Within the stillness comes more growth. Within the stillness comes more money in your bank account. Within the allowance of ourselves to do those things. And what's been your experience with that, when with your healing and then with what you attract by kind of being counterintuitive? Like, in our mind, it just doesn't make sense. What do you mean if I sometimes be still, I'm going to make more, or create more, or attract more? Yet that's what happens.
It really is. It's a paradox, but it's true.
Right? So have you experienced that?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I wouldn't say that I was so disconnected to the point that I didn't know what stillness was, because it was always a part of my life in some way or other. You know, as a practitioner of yoga for the past decade and just being an intuitive person, let's say, and intentional, I have always had that nick to, oh, when, you know, I'm very social, but I'm also loving my solitude. Like, I have both sides to me, and I very much nurtured that during my 20s. And I didn't just go into a corporate job and full-time job. I was like, no, I'm following my heart. So I guess it came more natural. But now, obviously, post-breakdown, what you just said resonates so much. Like, this abundance of wealth, of joy, of where you want to be in your business comes from actually the moments like today when I go to the pool and read book on money mindset. And then I really feel the rewiring happening in that moment, because I'm in the present. And I think the present moment has magic for everyone, for entrepreneurs especially, because like you say, we are in a hustle time of life everywhere. Everyone's like, you have to work, you have to do this to make a million, you have to do this. No, you don't. You have to be. It's really actually less doing, more being. And it's just brought so much to me, Kelly. I also used to think I have to do more. I have to get more clients. And now it's like, no, I attract because I am. And I'm still and I'm calm. And I know that this energy will bring in the right people to me at the right time. And it just brought my dream job into me at the right time. So why wouldn't it? You know, so it just. And then you get those signs, don't you? That when you retract, when you surrender, little things start to happen and you're like, oh.
It's so true. What is your dream job? Maybe share with everybody. So I don't want to just skip past that, because that's a big deal. So yeah, what's happening for you next year with your dream job?
Yeah. So because I'm a passionate led mentor and have very many passions, as you can tell, I've always loved working with kids. So I've been a yoga teacher and an English teacher with kids a lot. But now I've just trained to be a kindergarten teacher here for the past 3 years in Germany. So post-breakdown, I was a bit like, yeah, let's not go back into entrepreneur straight away. Let's build up my mind. And then, you know, and it's definitely built up my confidence. Plus, I love working with kids, like especially like kindergarten age. And so I've just gotten a jungle school teacher job, which sounds so me. Like, I just can't wait to be barefoot and in nature and just like, you know, truly to our roots with them. And I'm just so excited for that next chapter. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I love it. And it's in Costa Rica. And we're just saying you're going to pull up to your dream job on a quad, because that's what you
want out there.
Right. And, you know, I love it. And, you know, speaking of working with kids, I think too, a big part, and you and I were talking about this, I believe, earlier, a big part of healing and growth is like our inner child stuff, right?
Yes.
So like, and you get to have a mirror of it, which is such a blessing because you work with kids all day long. Yet I know for myself too, like, and how many people can relate? Like, we forget to have fun. We forget to play. We forget to like, what would our seven-year-old self be wanting to do right now? And I lately took a picture of myself. I think I was like 6 or 7, and I put it on my bathroom mirror. And then I'm practicing the Mel Robbins thing to high five myself and tell myself I love me. Yet I look at that inner child so that I remind myself every day just to go and play, because I was taking myself and my life so serious. And that causes a block in healing, I think, and abundance. And so maybe chat a bit about that and like our inner child, because I know that that's a big thing that you've worked through too.
Oh yeah, personally and now academically in these past 3 years, I've learned so much in my toolbox. It's even gotten, you know, bigger because now I have like a foundation of the psychology, sociology of children, why we are the way we are with all these theories and studies. And, you know, it really does happen in our first years, if not in our baby years, like a lot of emotional attachment, you know, and stuff, attachment styles and all that. And so now I also feel way more re-energized as a coach myself, you know, and a holistic healer, because I have this like even deeper understanding as who we are and why, like you just say, we need to look at ourselves as our child selves every day. What do you need today? What can we play? What can we laugh about? What can we, you know, strike a conversation up about with a stranger? Because as a kid, you are naturally courageous. And I can't say this enough. And I think that's something that I'm definitely going to go more into with my coaching. Like bringing that natural state of confidence, calm, and courage up again. Because we were born like that. You know, I see the kids, they don't give a shit. They just do their own thing. They just say the funniest things. They laugh. They live in the moment. It's basically that at the end of the day. They're present because they also don't have that awareness until they're 6 years old of what time really is. So if you think about it, they are just like this untethered plate of our souls. And that's why I love working with them. They're such an inspiration, like a fountain of inspiration for me with my writing too. And yeah, like just ask yourself like daily, what does my, like you were saying, what does my seven-year-old child, like inner child want today? Want to be seen, heard, want to go play, want to have go and ice, get and get ice cream. You know, like those little things that made you so happy as a kid make you happy now too, that you can forget about, you know?
It's so true. I love that you shared that, because I was going to ask what can we do to start to allow, right, our inner child to come out and play? Do you have some other tips? I like the first one, just even like so simple, like first awareness. I like to say awareness before change. So like just to even ask ourselves that question, I think is a huge shift.
Yeah. Definitely. And if you don't, like, get into it, because you will just manage this shift of firstly awareness, but also connection. Because I mean, we're just disconnected these days, like generally speaking, right? Like online from who we really are, we're comparing. And when you reconnect with your inner child, you just like reimburse this like new life within you of maybe desires that you'd push down. For example, I always wanted to be an author as a kid, and I didn't push that desire down. I listened to my inner child and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do this, you know? Like, what were maybe some goals that you did have as a kid? Because they were mostly creative goals, if not always, right? Like, because as kids we're more creative, aren't we? We express ourselves more and we give ourselves the time more, I mean, right? You just have more time to explore. And I think that's it. We've lost that faculty to naturally explore daily life because we're just so in this construction of what society has told us we need to do to succeed.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. And, you know, this is where I think alignment could come up, because I'm an alignment coach. I speak about alignment because I, from the outside in, looked like I was living my life on purpose, yet in reality, I was totally out of alignment around my values. What's that? For how long?
Sorry. Yeah, yeah.
I'd probably say 4 or 5 years, like literally, you know, and I felt like something was off. I was unfulfilled. I wasn't enjoying the journey. Everything we've talked about today, I was the opposite. Like I wasn't letting my inner child out. I wasn't playing. I was taking my life and I think take your life seriously, but don't take yourself so serious, right? Like take your goals and dreams. They're important, yet we've got to learn to not take ourselves so serious along the way. And I was taking myself so serious. And I was doing what you shared you were doing. I was showing up. I was putting the smile on my face. I was kind of being the court jester, juggling all the balls for everybody. And I was doing it with like a laugh and a smile. But on the inside, I was out of alignment. And eventually what happened is I became exhausted and burnt out. And I feel like success without alignment isn't sustainable. And I just feel as you've been speaking, you know, so far, it just keeps coming back to that for me, the importance of alignment. And a big part of that is the inner child, like listening to ourselves, being still enough to, we have our answers. Like we don't need to go outward for our answers. We have our answers. And I know that alignment is your word for the year. And so I'm just curious, being that that's your word for the year, how do you think you've evolved from the 21-year-old version of yourself that you talked about in the beginning to now the 30-year-old when it comes to alignment, being that that's been your focus this last year?
Oosh, what a question. I would say I'm still that ambitious, creative, passion-led soul that wants to help everyone, but it's such a timely question, Kelly. Yesterday I had a big realization that the differences between my 21-year-old self and now, I think at 21, I wanted to save everyone because I'd lost my world and I'd lost my best friend. And I was like, okay, now I have to save everyone. It was like this kind of superwoman energy, like, you know, you put it out there. And now I notice, I got this message yesterday and I thought, oh, okay, I'll sit back. I don't need to show up and try and save everyone again. I will trust that everything I have out there is working for my own good, because I do have a library now. If I think about it, I've been online for 5 years on and off. And you know, that inner critic, that inner ambition that's always like, you've got to do, it's like silence. So now with alignment speaking, it's like that intuition is a higher voice for me that I just listen to. And it's like, now alignment is there. It's like, no need to prove, Grace. No need to race. No need to ask. You attract and you sit back. And that is really like this alignment for me right now, that is this just unshakable clarity, Kelly. Like, I think that's definitely what is brought with that word that I set this year. Like, this clarity that it's all good, even when you have adversities and setbacks. As long as you have that stable foundation, nothing can shake you, so to say.
Oh, congratulations. That just makes me feel happy hearing that, right? Because doesn't that just solve a lot of everyone's problems to be able to operate from that perspective? And it doesn't just happen overnight. It takes work. Yet the beautiful thing is, you know, what you're manifesting now because of it. And yeah, life is meant to be lived, right? It's not just meant to be getting through, or let's just get through today. I mean, I hear so many people say that all the time. Man, I just need to get through today.
I think it's a blessing to live. Where are you? Like, pinch yourself.
Yeah, right. And we're not talking like, it's not like we're not aware of like, sometimes we have bad days and things like that, but like life is meant to be enjoyed. Life is meant to be lived. And I just have such a belief that, you know, we can have it all. And that's what I think comes with alignment too, is like, we can have our dream jobs. We can build our dream business. We can make an impact. We can have fun and adventure. We can have our best health, and we can have phenomenal relationships. Like, that's also a perspective I think alignment brings. When we're in alignment, all those things flourish, and it is possible.
It's so possible. And sometimes you have to also, just wanted to add, because I just went through a breakup as well, and I think that was definitely one of the steering points, that you do have to sometimes let some relationships go, or whatever go, surroundings. You have to shed before you step into this aligned person that you are meant to be. And if you don't, then you are just going to stay in this, you know, kind of play out that you're just saying of like, oh, here we go, another day of life, you know, because you're not intentionally actively living it. So I don't blame you for saying that sometimes, you know. I'm like, oh, maybe there are just people like that. And that's also okay. but there is potential in everyone, right?
100%. And I like what you just shared, and sorry you're going through a breakup. And I think that that's something just to highlight quickly, because alignment doesn't mean everything feels great and it's wonderful. That's not what we're saying here, right? Like, but it means bringing your life into alignment. And yes, that's going to require some letting go and making some difficult choices and going through some tough times. Absolutely, right? Absolutely. And I just think that, you know, life can be messy. I've been saying that lately. Life can be messy, but it's also beautiful, and we get to choose, right? We get to choose. And, you know, I just think, Grace, you're so wonderful. And I think your story is really relatable, and because it's real, it's what people go through. And I know we've just touched on it today. There's so much more depth to who you are and your story and your journey. Where can people find you? So if they're like, you know what, like, Grace just has awesome energy, I want to follow her, I know she's going to share things that will support me throughout my day, I want to see what happens when she goes to Costa Rica, right? So where can people follow you? And then what do you have available?
Yeah, so I have a newsletter, which you can subscribe to, Mindful Moments, dedicated to bring you emotional intelligence, this inner peace that we're always talking about. I send out weekly newsletters on Monday to start your week on a good note, and Wellbeing Wednesdays. And that's on Substack. And then I'm also on Instagram, but not so much anymore, because I'm really shifting towards Substack, the newsletter, and creating my community, because that was one key that I was missing when I was suffering. And as you know, Kelly, we are living in a loneliness epidemic worldwide, which means we're all suffering in some way or other. Like, we've all lost that connection, that real connection. And the best way to navigate rapid change is in a community. The best way to grow exponentially is in a community. But the community has to obviously align with who you are and what path they're on. And our path in Healing Hearts Hub is that we are all actively on our healing journeys, which means we're all seeking support, seeking healthy habits that last. You know, this accountability also always helps. You know, we're both coaches, me and you, Kelly, so we know the power of accountability and it really like showing up, right? And so in Healing Hearts Hub, we're also doing journaling workshops and coaching calls like at the end and start of every month to really like be intentional. We just did our last week journal and we came up with a word for us all to focus on, and it's excitement this month. And I love that, you know, like, we can always come back to these little focuses because that's really what it's about. And we just take small steps together. It's a safe space for you to feel seen and heard, because a lot of the time, family and friends know us and it's amazing. And I love my family and friends, but sometimes they know so much of you that maybe they relate you to a past version of yourself. Whereas when you come into a community, they see you as you are now and who you want to be. And I wanted to point that out because I've really noticed that recently in the community, the power of that, that we share what we want and we're also just getting to know each other now. So we don't know all of the, do you know what I mean? So I think that's quite a special part of what we're building there. So yeah, you can definitely join for a free trial month just to find your feet. If it's right for you, we do daily check-ins, but it's no pressure. It's more about actually how it helps you, how you want to show up. You know, I'm not there like you have to show up every day, but you know that as human beings, our brains thrive off routine, regularity, and that's what we want to, you know, engage with, healthy rituals that are really good for your well-being, your mind, your body, and your soul.
I love it. That's so impactful. And that's so impactful that you shared the value of a community is people see the version of you now. And that is by not anyone's fault. Like, I see, you know, my family through the versions I've known of them for 48 years, right? And so when you go into a community, you get seen quicker. That's so special that you just shared that, and your community sounds phenomenal. So everybody who's listening, go and check it out. I'll put all that information, in the show notes, and that's really special what you're creating, Grace. And I know you're doing it because you genuinely care and you want to make an impact and you want to support people, you know, on their healing journey and their creation journey, right? For what they want to see in their life. And so that is so awesome. Okay. I'm curious. I have a few last questions. as our time winds down. And I mean, I can just speak to you all day long. I love talking to you. Okay, so here's my question. You know, you're still young, by the way. 30 is very young. Yet you've lived a big life so far. So what would you say is your version or definition of success today?
Today, right now, in this moment, success is surrender.
That just felt good when you said that.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that.
I like that. Oh my gosh. Nobody's shared that as an answer before. And I think this is like the 80th something episode I'm shooting.
Wow.
Yeah. So that felt good. Number two, you know, my tagline is unleashing greatness within. What would be three tips you would give someone to unleash their inner greatness?
Ooh, I love that. Especially because it is unleashing. You have it within you already, right? Be in the present moment. Stop thinking of the future and the past, but ground yourself in now. One. appreciate yourself, people around you, surroundings, like appreciation, gratitude, whatever you want to call it, is really the foundation to a high vibration. And believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, no one's going to believe in you. Like, let's just say it like that.
It's true though, right? Like it's really true. And I think even as entrepreneurs, that's a big one because there's a process to believe in ourselves, yet we want other people to believe in our vision and our dream and our service and our product. Yet people, that's the magic, I think, when you truly believe in you, that's when the abundance is going to start funneling into your life.
Totally.
So true. Okay, last question. Based on your message today, which is so special, thank you for being here and sharing, what would be a call to action you would give the listeners so then when they hop off and they're like, man, that was great, they actually go and implement something and create change? What would be one thing you would guide them to do?
Yeah, that's a very good point, because you can digest all the self-help books and podcasts you want, but actually applying it in your own life is the hardest part, right?
Yeah.
There's so many that are just going through my mind, but I'm trying to just like think of one small one that's more accessible to people. Okay, let's think of the modern world. Put your phone down. Whenever you have the urge, I feel like this is a good one because it's like insinuating or like activating that intuition. Whenever you go to pick your phone up, which is, by the way, hundreds of times a day, which is crazy, right? We just do it out of pure habit. The next time you do, just stop and ask yourself why. Like, why do I need to pick up my phone right now? Is it to scroll mindlessly? Is it to look at the time? Because let's admit, when we go on our phone, we're like, why are we doing this again? Oh yeah, I wanted to look at the time. Well, that's me anyway. And so when you next like have that urge, like you were saying before, Kelly, in the morning, just don't do it. Like basically for at least half an hour before you wake up as well, after you wake up. But yeah, just ask yourself more, like, why do I have to go on my phone? Because then who knows, you could be down a trap hole of like an hour and that's a waste of time. And then you feel guilt and then you feel bad. So ask yourself when you go on your phone, what is it that I want to do? And if it's not in alignment with how you're feeling in that moment, it could maybe, you know, even worsen your feelings in that moment, let's say, then think, okay, what could I do instead?
That's awesome. I love that advice. I'm going to do that because I'm pretty aware and I still go on my phone countless times throughout the day aimlessly to just, and all of a sudden I'm scrolling, you know, and to the point of, I think our conversation today, what that does, if you start to be mindful around that, is it creates spaciousness, you know, it creates spaciousness, which leads to expansion, which leads to the allowing of other things to come in. But if we're filling our space all the time with stuff like that, like, we're blocking it, you know? And that's such a practical, great call to action for people to practice. That I'm so glad you mentioned that.
I would love to know how it goes, like, honestly, because I know that it's harder as well than we think.
It's not as easy as we're saying, right? Like, so that's going to take some conscious awareness to do that.
For
real. So everybody who's listening, like, just give it a go for one day. I'm going to practice it today. Okay. And then, Yeah. And then reach out to Grace on Instagram, reach out to me. Just let us know, like, what was the result? Like, what happened, right? Like, how did it go? Tell us what's going on, because we'll all practice it together. Cause that's going to be tricky for me too. Yeah, that could be a door opener for a lot of things into our life. So Grace, you're so special. Thank you for being here. I am so excited to hear about your journey and your next, you know, chapter in your life, moving to Costa Rica, and congratulations for creating that for yourself. And you're going to go create magic over there for you and for all those kiddos and the parents who get to experience you. It's just going to be awesome. I know it. And I'm just really excited for you to have that experience for yourself.
Thank you so much, Kelly. I really feel it's very warm and heartfelt, our connection. And what you're doing is also great. Keep spreading the love and shining bright.
Awesome. You too. Thank you so much for being here today.